if you could stand with me for the reading. I want to read to you the 18th through the 25th verses. It tells this virgin birth. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 starts with, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Precious Heavenly Father, I just pray this morning that, Lord, we would understand that this is not a seed of man. This is a seed of woman. Lord, it confounds our understanding, our knowledge, our science. But, Lord, it truly is conceived of the Holy Ghost, the Son of God. We thank you for the gift of this child. We thank you even more so for the gift of your death, burial, and resurrection, O God, that we live in that resurrection life today and that we would proclaim it, for it truly is joy to the world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Matthew shows this birth of Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in that telling of Matthew, he contains a prophecy. That prophecy is from Isaiah 7 and verse 14. If you look there, you'll see that. The Lord is actually speaking in that prophetic moment. Isaiah is recording a conversation between King Ahaz and the Almighty. And the Almighty asks the king, says, "Request of me a miracle." King Ahaz is unwilling to do that. He refuses to ask the Lord of a miracle. And the Lord says, through the prophet, he says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." It confused the scholars then, and it confuses all of our science still today. How a woman would conceive a child. How she could have a seed. We all know. We all took biology. We all understand. The woman has the egg and the man has the seed. Over 100 times in the Word of God, seed is mentioned in the procreation. Over 100 times it is used in the male conception. Only one time is it ever used in reference to a woman. Genesis 3, on the doorstep of all of our faith, lies the first prophetic utterance. Today, that prophetic utterance I want to share with you. It's in Genesis 3, verses 14 and 15. Listen, God is pronouncing the curse upon the serpent. There has been a battle going on in the garden, and God is getting ready to correct the fight and bring the victory. It says, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust. And all the days of your life I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." This, many scholars call the Provost Evangel, the very first evangelistic, prophetic message in the gospel. On the doorsteps of our faith, on the porch of really all that we know, stands this prophecy, a woman's seed. And scholars in the Old Testament would scratch their head and wonder, how can a woman even ever have a seed? And scientists still today would question that. And your faith, my faith, the Christian faith is under attack, and they attack the virgin birth. But we need to know a defense of the gospel in which we believe. And just because God does a miracle doesn't mean that it hasn't happened. It just means it's miraculous. And if God says so, then it's good enough for me. And if God has put it in His Word, and God has put it in our hearts, then we need to share it with all, that they might know that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. So the virgin birth really is fundamental to our faith. What does it mean to us? What is it? Why is it important? How could this happen? These are great questions and things that we need to search and understand. But I believe that today the Holy Spirit really desires for us to know these things and to celebrate that virgin birth. We celebrated with the community coming through here and seeing that virgin birth in a live nativity scene. But we need for that birth of Jesus Christ to come alive new in each and every heart. You see, the virgin birth is not secondary to our faith. It's primary in all of our faith. It is a primary part of. It's not incidental, but it's fundamental to our faith. Genesis 3, 14 and 15 clearly puts it on the doorstep of all that we believe, and it is where the battle began, and it's where the battle still is today, and we need to be victorious in that battle. I believe we can be as we proclaim the virgin birth to all who will hear. Emmanuel, God with us. You see, if you don't believe in the virgin birth, then you have some problems. We have some problems. If we don't believe in the virgin birth, you're going to have some problems. The first problem you're going to have is that you don't really believe in the Word of God. That it's inerrant and infallible, and that it's true, that it was divinely inspired, given unto men who wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit. You're going to have a problem with the Word of God. Because the Word of God tells us it is a virgin birth. And so first and foremost, let's just begin right there. The Holy Bible records the birth of Jesus Christ, calls it a virgin birth, says she was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Gabriel, the angel, annunciated that to her. And we need to announce it to the world. The Holy Ghost will come upon you and you will conceive with a child, and He shall be named Jesus, Savior of the world. It's inerrant, it's infallible, and it's true. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, the problem with the Word of God is that you really don't believe it's God-inspired. That it's just man-written. And I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like Paul when he said, well, then we would be most miserable of all men if this isn't a God-inspired holy Bible. Then I've been deceived. That's not the God I know. He wouldn't deceive me. He wouldn't deceive you. He says it is inspired. And I believe it is inspired. It's inspired. Holy men were led of the Holy Spirit to write the words. And privately, though they were inspired, publicly they recorded. And all of the Word of God is there for our inspiration, exhortation, correction, reproof, encouragement, and edification. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, you have a problem with the Word of God, and that what was good enough for the Holy Family isn't good enough for us. Jesus was taught everything in the first five books of this. We call it the Pentateuch. That's all they had to teach them from. Some of the prophets and some of the law. But if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. And so if you have a problem with the virgin birth, you have a problem with what Jesus was taught and what he learned growing up as a child when he grew in all wisdom and stature. And I don't know about you, but I want to be just like him. I want to be just like him in every way. Paul says, I don't know what I shall be like on that day, but I know that I shall be like him. And I say, yes, hallelujah, I want to be like him. Teach me, Lord, from your holy word, for it is true. And if you loved it, then I love it too. And so let's understand, if you don't believe in a virgin birth, you have a problem with the Holy Bible. And I ask and I implore you to reconcile that problem today. Your friends, your relatives, your associates, your neighbors out there who might say, well, I don't think the Bible is true. Help them to reconcile that with the truth. God is a miracle-working God. Just because we don't understand how a virgin birth happens doesn't mean he didn't cause that miracle. The Holy Ghost came upon the Virgin Mary. She conceived with a child, and his name is Jesus. The Bible says it. I believe it. Spread it with joy. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, not only do you have a problem with the Holy Word of God, but you have a problem with the character of Mary. Let's just deal with that issue and that problem. Because when the world attacks the virgin birth, they're attacking Mary. They're calling her not holy, but a harlot. And it's not so. It is not so. This is what the world would want to do. It's what the world wanted to do with the woman caught in adultery. Wanted to kill her, stone her, punish her. They don't understand. Mary was without sin. She conceived a holy God. She was not an adulterer, an adulteress. She was not a harlot. Mary is the holy mother of God, not the unholy harlot of the world. It's what they would have us believe. And I would simply say that it's sheep comparing themselves to sheep. We know that Mary was a daughter of Adam. She had sin in her life. But she did not conceive the Son of God in sin. We know that Mary, just like all of us, would need to come to Jesus on the cross. And we know that she did. It's interesting because the world wants to attack the character of Mary. Saying, well, she wasn't a virgin. Somehow she got with a man and then that produced the son. Because they don't understand biologically how a woman could have a seed. Seed of a woman. It confuses scholars and it confuses them still today. But the character of Mary, though it is attacked, is intact. God doesn't allow for it to be torn away, taken away. Mary was a faith-filled servant. She was so faith-filled in her servant to the Lord that she was willing to do things that were unimaginable. I'll conceive, how can this be so? She told Gabriel. Gabriel said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And when he does, you shall conceive and you shall have a child. She didn't say, well, geez, okay. She said, whatever in your will. let it be done. I'm interested in a couple of things, because most scholars put Mary at about the age of 14, maybe 15. That's interesting, because if I was God and I was going to like bring my son into the world, I'd want a really mature woman to raise him. I mean, if I could hand select, right? And God certainly could. So all of us precious old saints, God didn't choose us. He chose somebody who was young. Never really used in any way before. But had a pure heart. Was a willing spirit to do all. And sometimes, you know, children need to lead the way, and we would call a 14 or a 15-year-old today a child. She led the way with a willing spirit and a faithful heart. If Mary was anything, she was faithful in God Almighty. And we need to have that same kind of character in us. When you attack Mary's character, you're not only attacking if she conceived in sin, but you're attacking whether or not she had faith to believe. She was faithful to God. She was faithful to Gabriel and the words that he spoke to her. She was faithful to Joseph, her betrothed. She was faithful to Jesus, the child she bore. Mary's character is not one of a harlot, but one of a holy, faithful follower of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that the one who bore the Son of God also followed the Son of God to his cross. She was not just in the manger at the birth of Jesus. She was at the cross on that day. And she was at his resurrection. And she was in the upper room. And she was in so many places proclaiming Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, to so many. She had a faith that we need to remember. It was a part of her character, and it's a part of what's attacked today. When we disbelieve in a virgin birth, we disbelieve in the faith of a young woman to change eternity for all in the world. God has faith in you to change the eternities of whoever comes into your life. He has faith in you. Do you have faith in you? If you don't believe in the virgin birth, yes, certainly we have a problem with the Word of God, and certainly there's a problem with the character of Mary in that. But the biggest thing is really we have a problem with Jesus Christ being the only begotten Son of God. That's where the real biggest problem, I think, lies. It's interesting because we always think, and our biology classes taught us, it's the seed of man. And so we don't understand how a virgin could conceive. But the story records and the Holy Bible tells us, but the Holy Ghost will come upon you and you will conceive. God is the one who has conceived his Son. It's interesting because many people think that the blood of the mother flows in the child in the womb. And that is not so. It's not true. Matters of fact, science now tells us and shows and proves that the DNA of the child will come from the DNA of the father. It is the blood of the father that flows in the child while in the womb. If the mother's blood were to intermingle, the child would die. It has to have the pure blood from the seed of the father in order to produce life. It's interesting. It's interesting because biologically, that's the way it is. But see, Jesus is not a son of man. He is not the son of Adam. He is the son of God, the only begotten. And if we don't believe in the virgin birth, then he doesn't have the king's blood flowing in him. He isn't a righteous king of kings and lord of lords. He is not the prince of peace. He is not Emmanuel, God with us. But if he is conceived of the Holy Ghost, then he is the son of God. He is the king of kings. He is the lord of lords. He is Emmanuel, God with us. That's what we believe. He's the son of God, not the son of Adam. He has royal blood. He doesn't have human DNA. He has heavenly DNA. That is our king. That is our Emmanuel. That is Jesus. And that really is the virgin birth, isn't it? And this world will attack that virgin birth this Christmas season. There will be those who scoff, those who mock, those who laugh at the concept of a virgin birth. But I'm here to tell you, the Holy Word of God is here to tell you that it is true. Yes, it is miraculous, but yes, it is nonetheless true. We need to hide this in our heart this Christmas season, that we might share the truth of God's Word with all. It's interesting. Lord was speaking to the serpent, announcing the curse. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. It was a battle. The serpent would bite the heel of Emmanuel, the Son of God. But the Son of God would crush the serpent's head. I don't know what your need is today, but I know the victory is found right there in the Provos Evangelium, the very first prophetic message in the Bible, right there. The victory is won. Seed of a woman confuses so many. But don't be confused by a miracle of God. Be joyful in it. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent would battle throughout history. And we're still in that battle today. Can I have the worship team, please, to come up? Will you stand with me in this sanctuary? You see, we're in a battle, but God calls for an army. And we are that army. We are that army that he is calling. Somebody's eternity is going to rest or fall upon the words you speak this Christmas season. You may be the only one who has an opportunity to speak to somebody about Jesus Christ, God with us, Emmanuel. And if we falter in our faith at all, then we will fail them. And I don't believe that there's one here that would fail. I believe each and every one here is victorious. You are victors in Jesus Christ. See, the battle was prophesied, but so was the birth prophesied. So was the victory prophesied. 100 times seed is mentioned, but this one time in this first prophecy, it's a seed of a woman. Go ahead, grab the miracle, hide it in your heart, and then proclaim it. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born of a virgin, has come and is with us. Emmanuel lives in our hearts today. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. The scholars may have scratched their heads. They may have rubbed their chins and wondered about this. But we today know the story. We know the truth of the Holy Word of God. And we know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has come and He has lit a light. Our hearts, they shine with His light. Let that light so shine. Let that light so shine. You see, the Son of God had to be born seed of a woman so that He would be fully God, conceived of the Holy Ghost, and fully man, born of a woman, so that He could take all the sin of the world upon Him. He who is without sin has taken all sin. That who are with sin would become sinless. There's royal blood that flows through His veins. I went up to Maine Medical Center this week. I sat down with a volunteer coordinator and I said, yep, I'd like to work in a cancer ward. Maybe surgery area. Oncology. And he said, well, tell us your story. And I did. An hour later, she goes, wow. I said, yep. I said, I just want to share the hope I have with those who are feeling hopeless. Because without royal blood in His veins, I'd have no royal blood in my veins. And there has been a transfusion, a complete transcending of who I used to be and who I am now. And I don't know, I'm not perfect in any way, but I know this, that I used to be like this. I was a sinner in need of salvation, but now I'm a saint who sometimes fails. Lord, help me. But I know that on that day when He comes, I'll be glorified and I'll be in a body like His body, and forever in eternity I shall worship Him as the only begotten Son of God. I told that volunteer coordinator, I said, yeah, I got royal blood that flows in my veins. The DNA just isn't like they've seen me. That's why God just keeps doing a miracle, I guess. Can't explain it. I just proclaim it. Will you join me in this altar here this morning? We've had a family weekend, and I'd like to close as a family today. Will you just come down front? Join us as one family. We have hundreds of people come through this sanctuary in the last 2 days. The live nativity scene. Many workers, many people doing many things. But it's because each and every one of us, in whatever way, some are going through some hardships that hurt. The death of loved ones. I don't care how many years have gone by. The grief is always there. The missing is always there. It doesn't change. But the only thing I can say and the only thing the Word of God tells us is, oh, sorrow may come, but joy comes in the morning. Joy always follows sorrow. I was speaking with someone this morning and I said, yeah, I understand there's a lot of joy in your heart, but I also understand that there must have been some sorrow at one point in your life. Yeah, you're right, Pastor. I said, yeah. Because there's no real true joy without knowing true sorrow. And so grief reminds us of the ones in whom we lost. But if they knew Christ, then they're really not lost. They're just home, and we're not there yet. Because we're on a journey. Get on a camel. Take a ride. Follow the Eastern Star. Get there. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, can today accept Him. Everybody loves a baby in a manger, but it's harder to love a man hanging on a cross. But Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which is lost, and we have loved ones who are lost. And he uses his army to bring that joy into their lives. Sorrow comes. Crises come. Crisis in the Greek is not positive or negative in its mood, in its understanding. It is neutral. What comes out of the crisis is either positive or negative. Share Jesus in that moment. He makes all things possible. All things possible through Christ Jesus. Put your hand upon a loved one here today. Get ready to pray. There's some who are hurting. Their hearts are tender because of lost loved ones. There are others who say, geez, I have a prodigal. I wish they would come home. And I believe that they're getting ready to. There are some who would say, Lord, why don't you do a great work in my relationship here or my relationship there? Lord, my work, I don't know what's going on. Whatever the problem is, I know the problem solver, Jesus Christ. He came to be with us, and he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace, and royal blood courses through his veins. Though he was a seed of a woman, his DNA is connected to God Almighty. And if you are a son or a daughter of God, then your DNA is righteous and holy. Precious Heavenly Father, I thank you today, Lord God, as we join voices, Lord God, and we start to pray for one another, Lord God, that you would just come in, minister to each and every one, Lord God. Let your holy anointing be upon each son, each daughter here today, oh God, as they minister to one another, Lord God, as they join in unity, Lord God, in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, Lord, as they share Emmanuel, God, with us, each and every one, Lord God. Lord, that they would become builders up of each other's faith, Lord God, that through fellowship, Lord God, they would encourage and edify, Lord Jesus. Lord, that they would share you, Jesus Christ, the Son of Glory, with all out and before them, Lord God. That they would proclaim, yes, a virgin gave birth. I believe, I believe, I believe. And Lord, that you would conceive in their hearts a greater joy. Whatever sorrow may have come, let joy overwhelm it. Let mercy and grace overcome with waves.